So it's a little different, but today we're going to hit just one verse, Proverbs 13, verse 24. I thought about giving some honorable mentions, but we're going to not do that. Anyways, let me pray, and then we'll jump into Proverbs 13, verse 24. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we trust that you are a merciful and gracious God, and that your grace, Lord, is at work in our lives all the time, and that, Lord, your grace guides us in pursuing wisdom and denying ourselves, picking up our cross, following Jesus. And Lord, we ask that as we sit before your word here this morning, that you would graciously soften our hearts. Lord, that this word would be planted in our hearts and it would bear fruit. Lord, I know this particular verse is directed towards parents, but Lord, I pray for those who aren't parents, Lord, that your word would encourage, it would build up, it would equip. Lord, it would just accomplish your good purposes as well, Lord, that you would build us up as a church, that you would increase our faith, Lord, as we just encounter you throughout every single page of Scripture, throughout every single verse, Lord, we trust that you are speaking. And so, Lord, speak to us and give us ears to hear this morning in Jesus' name. Okay, So to begin, I just need a little participation. And so you just keep your hand up until we put it down. So if you're a parent, would you just raise your hand? This is real important. If you're not a parent, you can look around, but just keep it up real high. This is an opportunity just to kind of let it out, okay, and just show everybody, okay? Your hands are up. If you're a parent, keep your hand up. Keep your hand up if you enjoy, this is important, if you enjoy being a parent and, so there's two parts to this, and really love your kids. Okay, we had hands come up this time. All right, that's great. Okay, now listen to this. Last one. Keep your hand up if you think parenting is easy. Okay, how old? 3 months. Okay, good. Yeah. And we're laughing. I don't want to discourage anyone from having kids, but in my experience of having parented now 4 kids for the last 23 years, I would have to say that parenting might just be one of the most difficult things I've ever done in my life. Golf would be up there, but I would put parenting just above golf and would say probably one of the most difficult things God has called me to do in my life. And don't get me wrong, I love my kids. I thank God for them every single day. They bring myself and Sarah just a lot of joy. And I'm going to assume your kids bring you a lot of joy as well. But parenting them is hard. It's hard. I find myself crying out to God for wisdom to know how to parent them all the time. One dad, in my study of this, one dad wrote the following about his experience with parenting. And Jacob, this might speak to you a little bit, okay? So just listen carefully. So this dad said the following. He said, "I used to be an expert on raising and discipling children. I possessed deep biblical insights into all the rich dynamics and subtle intricacies of parent-child interactions. I saw clearly how God's word can speak into every situation, illuminate each child-rearing moment with perfect clarity and providing the ideal course of action. Then something unprecedented happened, something that put all my neat, tidy theories under severe strain. For the first time, I became a father." And he goes on, he says, "What a shock it was to find that children don't share." Listen, Jacob, this is what you need to know. You can't see this, but it's true. He said, "What a shock it was to find that children don't share my sophisticated perspective on how to raise them. In fact, from a very young age, they seem to demonstrate a firm belief in some completely different view." It's true, Jacob. Very true. "Today, by God's grace, I am a far better parent than I was when our children were infants. And I know that while there is a great deal of clear guidance in Scripture about raising children, it's not as easy to apply as I once thought. I realize now that one of the key factors I didn't grasp in my first years as a father is that every time a parent interacts with a child, there are two sinners in the room, not just one. I think we would all agree that raising children is one of the most gratifying experiences and one of the most challenging, sometimes painful experiences that we get to go through as parents. Parenting is an incredibly sanctifying experience, and it's not just our kids that are experiencing that sanctification. But one of the things I've thought about, and I encourage people when they're getting married, and so I'll ask this question, I'll say, have you been praying that the Lord would cause you to grow in Christ's likeness? And typically most would say, yeah. And I'd say, great, that's why you're getting married. And then the same thing will happen is when you start to have kids, is when you pray that prayer, and I think somebody said this in our community group recently, and we were talking about prayers that we pray, and somebody just mentioned that that's a dangerous prayer. When you pray things like, Lord, I surrender my life to you. Whatever it is you want me to do, I'm going to do. Lord, here I am. Take me, and I'll do it. Lord, cause me to grow in Christ's likeness. Anybody ever pray that prayer? Okay, well, one of the ways in which the Lord answers that prayer is he gives you kids. And so like that one dad was saying, he realized there's two sinners that are always interacting in that parent-child relationship. And sometimes as parents, we forget that we're one of them. But in God's kindness, he reminds us, and he uses our kids to not just grow them, but to grow us as we walk through different seasons of life with one another. And so parenting's difficult. It's hard. And it's enjoyable. It's rewarding. God surprises and delights us as parents. But when we think about parenting, one of the things I'm constantly praying for us as a church and for myself is asking God, give us wisdom. If you're a parent, have you ever prayed that prayer? Have you ever just sort of entered a season and you're just like, okay, what do I do? How do I parent in this season? That's one of the things for me, and when I say I've been parenting for 23 years now, my oldest is 23, my youngest is 18, and so they're kind of squished in there, and they all kind of enter seasons at about the same time. We don't have, as some of my friends do, we don't have kids kind of dragging behind a decade or two, where they're just all in there, and so what I've learned is like, as soon as I feel like I get to kind of at least understand what's happening in this season, you know, like when you're just learning to like potty train them and just teach them the basic functions of just life, as soon as you kind of get your arms around that, what I've noticed is like they move into a different season. And then you got to start all over again. And it's like try to prepare for it. And as soon as you feel like you got your handle on it, guess what happens? They hit the next season, and it just keeps going. And so what I found is, like, Lord, just this simple prayer. Give us wisdom. Lord, you've called us as parents to this task. Would you please just speak to us and show us what should we be doing to honor you as parents? And so we pray for wisdom, and this morning the Lord gives us some wisdom. As we look at just one verse, verse 24. This is Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. And just so you know, before I read it, I was talking to somebody this morning, and we were talking about this verse, and he just said, you know, another controversial passage. And he was referring back to the marriage message when we talked about romance and intimacy. And I just told him, I said, it's just here in the Bible. This is not my words. I'm not making up these things. This is God who is giving us wisdom as parents so that we might grow and be faithful in what he's called us to. And so verse 24 says this, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. And so what we're going to learn this morning as we sort of talk about this verse, and we're going to find ourselves in some other supporting verses, is that parents who love their children
will seek to diligently discipline their children. If you love your kids, by the grace of God, we'll seek to be faithful to discipline our kids. And so we're going to take a look at this truth by looking at 3 points this morning. The first two are really questions that I ask that we're going to try to answer. And so in our first point, we ask this question: what is discipline? If this is what we're called to do, if Scripture says, if you love your kids, you're going to be diligent to discipline them, then what is discipline? Proverbs has a lot to say. If you were to read through it, it has a lot to say about discipline, and it includes a number of ways in which this is done. So if you think discipline, and then underneath it, there's maybe some categories of what discipline may look like. And so one of those categories is instruction. When you think discipline, think instruction, giving detailed direction and information to someone so as to help them know how something should or should not be done. I think we all know what instructions are. Yesterday I had to replace my garbage disposal, so when I got it home, I got it out of the box and it had instructions, right? And when you grow up in school, what's one of the first things they teach you? Before you do anything, what are you supposed to do? Read the instructions. Instructions are important. They gives you information that you need to know about what you're supposed to be doing. And so as parents, we're called to give instruction. We're also called under discipline is teaching, imparting knowledge to someone, or in this case our kids, so that they might learn what is true and grow in their ability to walk in this truth. And so there's this instruction that's given, and then there's just teaching. And as you know this, as a parent, this just happens, or by the grace of God, should happen every single day and could be happening every single moment of the day as we're just giving information and directing and showing our kids how to do things, specifically as it regards to truth and what it looks like to walk in that truth. And then underneath that, you could find training. So when you think discipline, you think instruction, you think teaching, and you think training. And this is just the ongoing process of helping someone learn the right things and how to do the right things in the right way. And so parenting isn't just this one-time act. I wish it was. This is where my frustration comes in. I'm assuming you as a parent the same way. Like maybe if you just think about loading the dishwasher and you just say, okay, this is how you load the dishwasher. And if you just give them some instruction, teach them how to do it, and sometimes we forget the training part, that like it's actually like it's going to take some time. They're going to have to do it over and over. And kind of like if you play a sport and you're learning to throw a baseball, could tell you to throw a baseball one time, do you think you'll get it? Or golf. So what do? You practice. So when you think training, there's just a lot of practice taking place. And in parenting, you're giving instruction and you're giving teaching, and then there's just a lot of practice. Where by the grace of God, we're seeking to influence our kids towards Christ-likeness as we seek to help them get wisdom and not walk in foolishness. And so there's just a lot of training. And the fourth one is correction. Identifying errors in people's thinking or your kids' thinking and actions, and then helping them to make the appropriate adjustments to their thinking and actions. And so when we think discipline, we think instruction, teaching, training, and correction. Sometimes that's verbal. A lot of times it's going to be verbal. It's going to be this, hey, we don't do that. Or we ask questions. Why did you do that? Do you think you should have done that? What does God's word say about that? Do you think there's a better way to do that? And so it's not always verbal, though. It's also physical sometimes. We're going to get to that in just a moment. And so ultimately, what we see is that discipline found here in Proverbs is about education. It's about getting wisdom. It's passing along God's truth and wisdom to people, helping them to fear God and obey Him through faith in Jesus Christ. If parents are going to faithfully love their kids as God calls for them to do by diligently discipling their children, then what they need most of all is not best techniques or best practices, but wisdom themselves. When I think about parenting, I think about what God calls us to, it's very difficult to teach our children about God if we ourselves as parents don't know him. It's almost impossible to help our children know Jesus and follow Jesus if we ourselves don't know him and we ourselves are not denying ourselves, picking up our own crosses and following him. Faithful parenting starts with our own personal relationship with the Lord. It starts with dads and moms getting wisdom from God by believing in Jesus and having a life in God's word where they themselves are being disciplined by God through his word. So you can fool your kids when they're younger into believing almost anything. But the older they get, the more they see and the more they know and the more they can see through hypocrisy. When my kids were really young, I don't know what their ages were. When they were really young, I'd go off to work and I'd come home. And occasionally, back in the days when you had CDs, you guys remember those? And so Sovereign Grace would put out new music and they'd always send us CDs in the mail and say, hey, here's the new Sovereign Grace album. And so I'd get that. And one of these days, I got one of those in the mail and I brought it home and the kids were looking at me and they said, what'd you do today? And I said, this is what I made today. And I held up this CD, and we had one of those CD players, and I put it in the CD, and they liked it. And they were really little, and so I was able to fool them into thinking, this is what I do all day. I make things like this. And they think that was real, or they thought that was really cool. But guess what happens as they grow up? They see through that. They begin to understand, oh, my dad likes to joke around a lot. And then they realize, because they sit next to me, my dad can't sing at all. My dad has terrible music taste. My dad has no musical cells in his body. I find a song and I listen to it over and over again. I'm not good at it. I rely on others to help me. Okay, that's why I'm not up there. Never will be up there. Can't sing at all. But anyways, you get my point. You know when your kids are little, they just want to believe that you're the best dad in the world. They're sort of just geared that way. The Lord created them to be dependent upon you. And so they believe the best most of the time. And they want to believe that you're the best mom in the world. And you can convince them of anything. It's a season where they're ready to be molded. They're like sponges. And God calls for us to be faithful in this season to train them in his ways. To teach them the truth. To be faithful with the gifts that God has given to us, that they might trust in Jesus. We can't change their hearts, but God's called us to be faithful to instruct, faithful to teach, faithful to train, faithful to correct, that they might get wisdom. And it's all part of God's purposes and plans, but they see through the hypocrisy as they get older. But God calls us to be faithful to discipline. And he says in Proverbs that if you love them, you will discipline them. This leads us to our second point. Why do we need to discipline our children? Simply put, here's how I would answer this. If you don't do it, somebody else will. It's just the nature of this world we live in. I mean, there's obviously God's called us to do it, but if you think as a parent you don't have to do this, but you hope it's being done, if you're not doing it, somebody else will discipline your children. Somebody else will teach your kids. Somebody else will give instruction to your kids. Somebody else will give your kids a worldview because our kids are sponges. Their eyes and their ears are always open. And I would say the younger they are, the more open they are. The more they want to listen because they're sponges. And so their ears are open. Their minds are open. Their hearts have been created by God to learn and grow. And so if you put them in front of a screen all day, they're being disciplined or discipled by what they're watching. If you send them off to school, which is totally fine to do, you just need to know they're being disciplined and discipled by teachers. They're learning something. Somebody's always speaking to them. So we discipline our children because God has entrusted them to us as parents to teach them who he is. And this is a holy task. It's an honorable task. It's one where we as parents, we desperately need God's mercy and grace to accomplish. But he's called us to this. He's entrusted your kids to you. Open up your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6, please. And we're going to be over in just different sections, but so we're going to look at verses 4 through 9. I'm just going to read them. And so here's some instruction. Listen to this. Verse 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart." And then listen to what we should do with these things. "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk with them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Now open up to Ephesians, please. Ephesians 6, 4 says this. This is right after the children obey your parents. And then there's this instruction for fathers or parents. It says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." This is what the Lord has called us to as parents. And it's a wonderful task. It's a hard task, but it's one that God gives us grace to do because he's called us to it. We also learn from our text that we discipline our children, not just to honor the Lord because he's called us to do it, but we discipline them because we actually love them. It's an evidence of our love for our kids. Verse 24 again says, "Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him." Bruce Waltke, in his commentary, wrote the following. He said, "Loving parents seek to correct the faults of their children because their children's lives, favor, protection, healing, dignity, and prosperity are at stake. Unloving parents turn their backs on them and hand them over to death, social ruin, public exposure, calamity, and shameful poverty." Listen, I know that when my children were born, in my opinion, they were the cutest things ever. I'm assuming as parents of your own kids, when your kids were born, you probably fell immediately in love with them. And you just looked at them and you just thought, these are the cutest things ever, right? And you love them and they are. And you hold them and you enjoy them and you just think, man, these kids are great. But then what happens is they start to grow up. And you begin to realize that they're cute and they're sweet, but they're also little sinners who love to be foolish and create a mess out of life at times. Our children, like the rest of mankind, if left to themselves, will do whatever they think is right in their own eyes. I know this is like, we all know this to be true, but for some reason, there's this thing as parents, sometimes we forget it, or we like to believe, that's true of that person's kids, but not my kids. Anybody ever experienced that? You know what I'm talking about? Probably not. But it just happens. Sometimes we get these glasses we put on and we can just think, our kids can do no wrong. And that's just not the way Scripture talks about us or our kids. And so they might be cute, they might be sweet, but they're still sinners in need of a Savior. There's a lot of foolishness bound up in kids that God has entrusted to parents to help them understand the difference between what is wisdom and what is foolishness. Who is God and who is not? And so it's a task he calls us to. And without disciplining our children, here's what happens. Undisciplined children eventually grow up and become what? Undisciplined adults. Proverbs 23, verse 13 says the following, "Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. If you strike him with the rod, you will save his soul from Sheol. If you love your kids, you'll seek to save them from Sheol. There's something God calls us to in this task of disciplining our kids, of giving verbal correction, and we're going to talk in a moment just about physical correction as well, but it's a work that God works through. It's a means of grace. This doesn't mean that you can actually save your kids, but it does mean that you can teach them who Jesus is. You can show them God through the means of grace that God has given to us. You can offer them the truth of the gospel and urge them to repent and believe in Jesus. You can teach them what it means to get wisdom and to walk in wisdom so that they might reap the blessings of obedience and not the curses of disobedience. So wise and loving parents understand and believe that their kids' character and futures are largely shaped by their childhood. Isn't that scary to hear? But you know this. If you're old and you just think back to like when you grew up, I'm assuming you could probably go back to moments where you interacted with your mom and dad that have shaped the way in which you think today. Certain moments that stand out that God has used to either form you for the better or for the worse. We all have those because in God's wisdom, we start out really, really little and then we get older and we start out sort of like sponges. We want to grow. We want to learn. We want to hear something. We want to be shaped because God's created us to be shaped. And in the context of a Christian home, he's created us to be shaped by godly parents who seek to raise up their children in the fear of the Lord. And so if you love your kids, this wisdom here teaches us, then we would train them. Charles Bridges writes the following. He says, "Our character largely takes form of that mold into which our early years were cast. If the crooked shoots of self-will and disobedience are not cut off, their rapid growth and rapidly growing strength will greatly increase the future difficulty of bending them." Doesn't that make sense? I've been growing a bonsai tree from a seed for the last 3 years. It's about yay big. Don't ask me why I got into it. I just liked it. And it was literally a seed. And right now, after 3 years, it's about ready to be like, have that wire put around it where I can start to turn it because I want it to look like the one from Karate Kid, you know, Mr. Miyagi. I want it to bend. What? I want it to bend. Right now it's just straight up and it looks like a regular tree, but that's not how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be bent. And if I don't start soon and I just let it go, what Charles Bridges is saying is you're not going to be able to bend it. If you go out there and you try to bend one of those trees out there that's fully grown, it's going to be pretty difficult. But if you take it when it's little and it's flexible, you can mold that thing into anything you want. And so parenting is very similar. If you have young kids as a parent, you need to understand God has created them to be molded. God has created them to be sponges that can be trained. And you can't save them, but man, you can teach them everything that's in here. You can teach them what it looks like to love a neighbor, what it looks like to be a servant. You can teach them what it looks like to love to work. Now, whether they want to love to work or not, that's not up to you. But you get to teach them because you can't reach into their hearts and change them, but you get to be somebody who's telling them about Jesus and what God's created them for. And then we trust God to save them, right? But we need to understand when God gives us kids, from an early age, as long as they're in our home, he's called for us to be faithful at disciplining them. Whether that's instructing, teaching, training, or correcting, it's what he's called us to do. We also discipline our kids because it's good for us in our homes. Proverbs 29:15 says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." So we discipline our kids because left to themselves, wisdom says he brings shame to his mother or to his parents. And then verse 17 of that same chapter says, discipline your son and he will give you rest. He will give delight to your heart. So I don't know about you, but when my kids were little, we had four and under at one point, and they all just kind of moved along. And when you have that, you get chaos sometimes. You know what I mean? You have a lot of foolishness kind of rolling through your home, and it creates chaos. It creates confusion. But in this verse right here, the Lord promises a little bit of rest. He says, discipline your son, and he will give you rest. He will give delight to your heart. Sometimes there's chaos in the home because there's no discipline in the home. When I was younger, we had this little dog. I think his name was Whitney, right? Okay. So we had a dog named Whitney. And we're not a dog family. If you know me, you've talked to me, I'm not going to be for your dog at all, ever. I'm just not a dog person. And part of that is the way I was raised. Anyways, we got this dog, and me and my siblings, we loved this dog, but we didn't train this dog. And so we had a dog that we tried to love, and we did love, but we never trained. It was real cute, but it was also a terror. It destroyed things. It ate things. You know those kind of dogs? So then the dog would be outside, and if it ever got off of its leash, or if it ever got out that door without somebody noticing, guess what that dog did? It just ran. And it wasn't one of those dogs where you said, hey, come back. It never came back. It wouldn't come back. Like, it would literally run our neighborhood, and you'd get on a bike, and you have to go find it, and then you'd be hoping that a neighbor would trap it. And then we'd get that dog back. Eventually, that dog did not last in our home. It just created chaos. That's what it created. It created chaos to the point of the dog no longer being in our home. I use that illustration because kids can do the same thing. Kids without discipline create confusion and chaos. A lot of chaos in the home sometimes, especially when the kids are younger, is because we as parents let them do whatever it is they think is right in their own eyes. Kids need boundary lines. As parents, we need boundary lines. That's why we read things like, your boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. God gives us boundary lines. We as parents, we live in those boundary lines, but when it comes to our kids, sometimes we don't give them the boundary lines that they need. And so we discipline our kids because it's good for them and it's good for our home. It's wise to discipline your children. Discipline is a means of grace to our kids, helping them learn who God is and what it means to fear and follow him. It's good to instruct them in the ways of God. It's good to teach them the Bible and what it means to follow Jesus. It's good to train them in these areas as well. And, which leads us to our third point, it's good to correct them verbally and physically. This is where it gets a little controversial depending on where you think. But point number three, parents who spare the rod hate their children. That's a strong point, isn't it? You just confront it immediately. But again, like when I used the word stupid a couple weeks ago, that's not my word. I'm not making this up. I'm trying not to create things and just impress my own views and practices upon you. Just verse 24 says it pretty simple. And this is where, like, we find out real quick. It's, okay, Lord, if this confronts you and hits you pretty hard, I would just stop and say, okay, Lord, what are you really saying here? And I would ask questions. But here's what he really says. Whoever spares the rod hates his son. But he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. In verse 24, the discipline that Solomon has in mind is physical. Since he mentions the rod, he's not encouraging physically abusing your child in this verse, but he is encouraging parents to inflict some physical pain upon their kids as a means of disciplining their kids and helping them to see the error of the ways. Okay, so this is where that conversation earlier today, where they were saying, oh man, we talked about marriage and now you're going to talk about spanking. And so one was like, yeah, marriages, we love this. Kids, if you're listening to this and you're a younger kid, I'm encouraging your parents to use the rod. Not as exciting, but as beneficial. Physical discipline is a means of God's grace to help parents train their kids in wisdom, and wisdom is needed to use this form of discipline in a way that is helpful and it honors God. There's key there. It's, you need wisdom as a parent to use physical discipline or to spank your kids. Verbal discipline, correction, or instruction, it's helpful before and after a child sins. But physical discipline is only appropriate in response to a specific instance of sin of foolishness. Verbal discipline doesn't always need to be joined with physical discipline. But all physical discipline should be joined with verbal discipline to help instruct a child. You see what I'm doing there? There's a need. Like, we don't just spank our kids and say nothing. We use words. God's given us words. He's given us means of grace to inform, teach, train, and then the physical or the rod or spanking is also a means of grace, but you join them both together. Physical discipline without any instruction and genuine love for our kids is ineffective at best. And I would add to that, and abusive at its worst. So there needs to be instruction, there needs to be love, there needs to be wisdom. But a child still needs to be disciplined. Children need to learn that there are consequences for their wrong behavior and sin. They need to learn that they can do what they can do and what they cannot do, or what's not allowed. They need to know those boundary lines. They need to know those boundary lines. They need to learn what it means and what it looks like to honor God. When children repeatedly reject wise counsel and disobey their parents, it reveals more than just a simple lack of discernment. This is where some wisdom is needed. You need to be paying attention. You need to know your kids. You need to be involved in their lives. A lot of times it reveals their rebellious hearts, their lack of judgment and foolishness. And one of the ways in which God instructs parents to train their children's area, it's to spank them. When we as parents fail to spank our children for their disobedience and foolishness, we're ignoring God ourselves and training our children that their foolishness is okay. This is why Solomon tells us that parents who spare the rod hate their children. Tremper Longman in his commentary wrote the following. He said, "One can imagine how a person who understood the importance of discipline for oneself might hesitate to apply it to a son. After all, it's difficult to inflict discomfort of any kind on a child that one loves. However, this admonition points out that more harm is done to a child by withholding discipline than by applying it. The sage would understand reluctance to apply discipline, whether physical or verbal, to be child neglect and child abuse." You see what he does there? He identifies. As parents, we love our kids. It's hard to think about physically disciplining them when they need it, because we don't want to inflict that pain upon them. But what Tremper Longman's getting at as he looks at Scripture, and I think that's what we see there, is no, if you really love your kids, this will be a means of grace that you use to parent them with wisdom. We'll talk about practicalities in a minute, but it's a means that God has called us to as parents in training our kids. Proverbs 26, verse 3 says, "A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the back of fools." Proverbs 29, 15 again says, "The rod and reproof," what it does is it gives wisdom. "But a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." So when you think rod and you think physical discipline, we need to think biblically about it. It's a means of grace that gives wisdom to those who receive it. Will it be painful? It will be painful. But that's part of God's purpose and plan in driving out foolishness so that our children might get wisdom. And oh, by the way, that verse 26, verse 3, that's not just for our kids, or chapter 26, verse 3. That's for all fools. It's a means of grace that God uses. Spanking gets a child's attention real quick, and it shows them that their foolishness hurts and is not a good road to travel down. Proverbs 22, verse 15 says this, "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. Let me read that again. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. This is God's wisdom. He hands us these cute kids who are sinners in need of a Savior, and they have foolishness sort of bound up in them. When that foolishness is bound up in them, he just says, hey, I got some wisdom for you. When you think about your foolish kids deliberately doing foolish things, disobeying you repeatedly over and over again, and you fail to spank them, he says, no, you hate your kids because I've given you a means of grace here, and you're neglecting it. Oh, you want that foolishness out, and I know you've tried to talk it out of them over and over again, and it's not working. Oh, by the way, Proverbs 22, verse 15 says, folly, it's bound up in the heart of your child. But the rod of discipline, it drives it far from him. Ted Tripp, which I would recommend, read everything on parenting from Ted Tripp. He says, the rod of correction brings wisdom to the child. It provides an immediate tactile demonstration of the foolishness of rebellion. I'm going to try to get a little more practical here in closing. And what I share from here on out in regards is sort of what I've learned over the years. And I would say this is just one way of doing it. As I've learned in raising my kids and still learning, and I was talking to somebody, and I would just say, talk to people in this church about this topic. And so having raised four kids who are so close in age, I would say early on we spent a lot of time in the bathroom, meaning spanking our children. It was never something we looked forward to, but what we learned over time is that these moments, when done properly, and not all of them were done properly, when done properly brought peace to our kids and peace to our home. It brought peace to our kids because it stopped them from continuing on in their foolishness. It brought rest to them and rest to our home. See, spanking, it gets their attention immediately. It gives weight to our words as parents. It humbles our kids and they typically try to avoid getting another spanking. It brought peace to our home because it brought order back to it. Instead of continuing down a path of disobedience, spanking our kids consistently and lovingly brought order to our home and our relationships with one another. Parents need wisdom when using the rod with their children. And I'd say this, typically spanking is more effective with younger children than older ones. Personally, we made it a practice to stop around the age of 5. So I'm not, like, my kids are bigger than me. That's not going to work. But as we learned over the years, younger is better than older. There's not an age. I'm not going to say we stop at this age. There's wisdom needed. I think it's evident at times. But we typically tried to stop at or around the age of 5. We also wouldn't spank our kids for everything they did wrong. We tried, and this is wisdom we got, we tried to pick one thing. One area where they seem to be foolish and deliberately disobedient and defiant in our home. And so we would pick one thing. We'd pick lying. We'd pick a direct and defiant act of disobedience, especially toward their mother. Or hitting each other. One of them liked to do that more than the others. And so we didn't tolerate that. And so when these things came up, we picked one thing as not to exasperate them. When we would spank our kids, we would typically take them to the bathroom and start talking to them about what happened. Some of our kids were really good at this. And then some were just demon-possessed. And if you've ever spanked your kid and you've took them in there and they were younger, you just know what I mean. Like, some are just, like, once they get there, they figured it out. Just calm down, be nice, say the right things, and we'll move on. And then there were other ones that were just like, you're not breaking my will. I don't care what you do. This is not affecting me. And so we had those kids. And so we walked through that process with them. And what we would do is we'd take them in the bathroom and we would talk to them. We talk about what they did and what we expect them to do and what God's word has to say about that. And then we would discipline them. Typically, there would be a wooden spoon and three spanks on their bottom. And then they would cry. And then my favorite part of discipline would take place. And this is why I recommend disciplining them. And this is the best part. It's the first part is the hard part. The second part's the best part. So you spank them till they cry. And you hold them till they stop. And you get to talk to them. And you get to preach the gospel to them. And you get to pray with them. And as a dad now whose youngest is 18, I would go back to that in a second just to hold them. Those are God moments where you get to just look them in the eyes. And then it's over. Because then when they get older, guess what? It gets a little bit harder because you got to talk. And then you got to talk again. And then you feel like it's over and it's not over. But around the ages of 2 to 5, it really is over until the next episode. It's simple. Sometimes I like, man, I wish I could spank my teenagers. I wish I could go back to this age. But that's all we do. It's pretty simple. And then we move on and I treat them as Christ treats us. I don't treat them the way their sins deserve. We move on and we would play and we'd hang out and we'd laugh and we'd enjoy life because there typically would be peace brought until the next time that this was needed. And so I share that with you and I just say, this was our practice. And it wasn't perfect, but it was a practice. And I would think as we look at this section of Scripture, if you're a parent, you have to have a practice. You have to have a practice. What does it look like for you to train your children in the ways of the Lord? What does it look like for you not to spare the rod? You have to make that decision. You're responsible for your kids, and you're responsible for how you respond to what God's word just says. And so in closing, here's what I'd recommend. Pray. As parents, pray. Ask God to give you wisdom. Secondly, I'd say, search these scriptures. And then third, I'd say you have a wealth of wisdom in this room as people work through what disciplining their children look like. I guarantee you, we trained and disciplined Mia, my oldest, a lot different than we disciplined my youngest. And I think most parents in this room would say the same thing. You start off and you think you have an idea. And then you realize you don't have an idea. And then God gives you wisdom by placing you with other folks, and you kind of figure it out by faith. And so we serve a good, gracious God, and so he gives us wisdom in his word. And he's given people around you, faithful men and women who have walked this road of parenting, who would be happy to give you advice. So church, get wisdom. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for your means of grace. We thank you for our kids. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to just gather together. And we ask that you would pour out your spirit upon us. Give us wisdom, Lord. Give us more of Jesus. And Lord, show us how to live out our lives in such a way where we honor you. We glorify you, Lord. And we do. We pray that scary prayer. Lord, whatever you want, we will do. We surrender our lives to you, Lord. We trust you. And so, Lord, lead us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed Sunday.